Good morning, Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan, and how are you?
I am fine. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. Thank God. Thank God.
Good to hear. Parshat Korach.
Parshat Korach. Korach was, if you think about it, he was a rebellion. He was a rebellious person. And he incites the idea of challenging Moses' leadership and granting the kahuna, the priesthood, to Aaron, accompanied by Moses, Dathan and Aviram, join them in the gathering with Korach and 250 distinguished members of the community, who offer their ketorach incense to prove their worthiness for the priesthood. And the earth opens up and swallows the mutineers, and a fire consumes the ketorach offering.
Yeah.
Now, there's so much to talk about Korach, but one of the things that I was thinking about is trying to understand Korach's complaint. Did he really have a complaint in what he was saying? And, ultimately at the end of the day is that we have to be happy with what we have on our lot and what Korach was missing. Now, the idea of inequality is very distasteful to us because, after all, it is the idea behind so much persecution and exploitation of one race by another, one class by another, one gender by another. But, you know, you think, oh, that person is worth nothing. You know, I'm more important than that person. But the most satisfying, if you think about it, and productive human relationships are nurtured by inequality.
Yeah.
Because if you look, marriage, the teacher and disciple relationship, the parent and child bond, are all predicted upon the appreciation that what? That you have something that I do not and wish you can give it to me. I want to be the recipient of that, and I am prepared to make space in my own being to receive that. Now, imagine if no one would be able to realize that, and for example, in a student-teacher relationship, well, if the student comes and says, well, I know everything, and you're not going to be able to help me, and you're useless, and it's absolutely pointless to what you're doing, the student's not going to learn. The student will not gain any knowledge because he's not willing to put that aside to be able to have that the idea that you have something to offer me and I'm going to be able to accept. Now, the question is the giver in the relationship superior to the receiver? If I am the teacher, am I more important than the student? Ultimately, our sages point out that the recipient does more for the giver than the giver does for the recipient. Because it's the sense of inferiority referred to in the Chassidut, in the Chassidic teaching, as bittul, of self, abnegation, that makes the receivership genuine and makes the relationship meaningful and more productive. If there is none of that, you can't really help the giver. You can't give the giver the ability to be able to give what he has to give. So Korach accuses Moses and Aaron of nepotism, of grabbing positions of power for themselves. And in doing so, he insists that the entire community is holy. And so if the entire community is holy, why are you exalt yourself over the congregation of God? Why do you think yourself is any better? And this argument can be done in general. That is always the argument against the Jews. Who do you think you are? You're the chosen people. Aren't all men equal? Why do you think you're the chosen people? And if you go and look, the fact is that Jews ultimately are different. Don't ask any anti-Semite, he'll confirm it for you. That the Jews, there is this hypocrisy of nations of the world, and international media, who constantly hold Israel to a higher standard of morality than it does to anyone else.
Yeah.
And so the there is, we're used to this whole idea of inequality. That's what we've been looking, we've been persecuted. We even see today, go to the UN and see, are they going to condemn another nation, or the first nation they're going to condemn is Israel. So the idea of a chosen people does not mean more privilege, but it just means greater responsibility. Making that Jews are more responsible. The fact that we are a sensitive human nation on earth, and that is precisely that, you know, if we occasionally veer from some principles that we have, then the world goes crazy because they're not used to that. Because the Jews are always held, are always a higher standard, are always supposed to be held at the higher standard. So, we explain, we understand the Midrashic account of Korach's rebellion was this. That Korach gathered his men, and they donned the garments made of tchelet, of the blue wool, yeah, which was used for tzitzit. And he asked a question like this, Korach. He says, there's a garment made of the whole garment made out of tchelet still requires tzitzit. Because the question is if you have one string, you need to have tzitzit. So if the whole piece, the whole material is made out of tchelet, do I still need to have the tzitzit, the string? And Moses answered in the affirmative. And they laughed and they mocked him. They said, what are you talking about? If one strand of tchelet exempts an entire garment, and you don't need to have a tzitzit, then a whole garment, for sure it's going to exempt. You don't have to have tzitzit. So says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he says like this, this is precisely what's Korach's argument. The entire garment, in other words, the entire congregation, all the Jews, is holy. We are all tchelet. We are all holy wool. And there is no need for distinctions between us. So why do you, Moses and Aaron, appoint yourselves leaders to exalt yourself over us? You're no more better than us. Why is that? That was his fundamental underlying argument. And if you think about it, the fact is, however, that distinctions are a necessary reality of life. So while we don't obviously look to create divisions between people, but if you, not everybody's a doctor, not everyone is a president, so you need to be able to have these distinctions. You need to be able to have the idea that within our own people we have Kohanim, Kohens, we have the Levites, we have the rest of everyone who is Israelite. They are doctors, they are lawyers, priests, and prophets. So the challenge of those who hold legitimate, genuine, high office is to keep the distinction from disintegrating into divisiveness. In other words, if everyone's going to say, well, what makes you any better than me because you're a doctor? You're right. I'm no better than you, but I have a different quality. I'm a different distinction. I'm able to offer something different than someone else I cannot have. So one of the things that we see from Korach is that he was not happy with his lot. We have to be happy with our lot. That we have whatever God is giving us. You know, you always have people that say, the grass is always greener on the other side.
Yeah.
You know, that must be that that person has a phenomenal marriage. You know, they treat each other so nicely outside, and they're all, you know, all lovey-dovey, and everything is great. Do we know what's going on inside the house? Do we know how their real marriage is? We don't. What the true grass is green is by you, by the real person, by your...
It's all relative. It's all relative.
Exactly. So when a person lives their life with a sense of divine purpose, you recognize that you are who you are, your life is what it is, because that is what is meant to be for you. And it is within your own life that you are called upon to serve your Creator and fulfill your very distinctive mission and purpose. And so the mission of what every person is to be able to enhance and perfect our world. And to be able to affect our lives, to affect our children, to affect our community. So Korach would have done well to heed the profound words of living a good and happy life is to have the courage to change those things which can be changed, and to accept those things which cannot be changed, and the wisdom to know the difference. And therefore, Korach wasn't ready to accept it. Korach wasn't ready to be able to say, well, I'm okay with it now, and therefore he was very unhappy. So the fact is that if you go and look at Korach, Korach wasn't more from the physical aspect that he was upset. He was upset more from the spiritual aspect.
Yeah, because he was the richest guy ever. There is an expression, Ashir kmo Korach, like rich like Korach.
Exactly.
The inner part was the weak.
That's right. Absolutely. So he didn't need it from the fact of being prestigious and having a good honor. But more of the fact is that, look, his neshama, his soul came down into this world and is yearning for the spiritual aspect of a high priesthood. So, if you think about it, what was wrong? There's nothing wrong with it. He wants to be infused with the divine passion. Korach wanted to be more connected with God. He wanted to have this more spiritual aspect. What was the problem? The issue is that where Korach went wrong was that the true love for God should not drive us from each other, should not divide us from each other. God loves others as much as he loves us. So we understand that Korach's wanting for the high priesthood led him to rebellion that was bitterly divisive. And this was the first indicator that his passion for God was misguided. His love was not true and his beauty was not pristine. Korach's toxic had to be stopped. In other words, if you have the spirituality for God, you have the closeness that you want to become close to God, we have to make sure that if you're doing that in that way, that it doesn't do it in a way of divisiveness and separating people, that you're higher than I'm me, and we're all in it together. We have different roles. We need to have leadership. We need to have different perspectives on things. Not everyone's going to be a doctor, but I'm going to be who I'm going to be. And that's where Korach went wrong. And that's the lesson that we have to learn, is that looking at someone else on the other side, everything looks always better. But ultimately, we have to look at ourselves and say, where is the true power? Where is everything that's really true? And where is everything really green? It's by us. And that's what Korach teaches us. And that's what the lesson that we can learn from this week's Torah portion.
And Rabbi, what about praying time in Shari Tzedek?
Services are 7 o'clock Friday evening, 9:30 Shabbat morning, as well as Sunday morning 8:15 with a breakfast, and Monday and Thursday 7:15, which is obviously anyone that wants to come and start off their morning well, it's a good opportunity to do that.
It's a good start.
Yep.
So Rabbi, I wanted to thank you and to wish you Shabbat Shalom to you and to your family.
You too, and we'll talk next week, God willing.
Thank you.
All right, be well. Have a good Shabbat.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.